content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program today cover the week of Monday, November 14th through Sunday, November 20th, 2022. The commentary for this week and all of November was written by Todd Haig, an English teacher, husband, father, and sports enthusiast who also loves literature and travel. His family attends Christ Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas. The commentary for Monday, November 14th, begins as follows. This is from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." And the commentary for this day, I've been blessed in my life to visit many ancient castles. I've walked many ramparts that looked out over modern streets and tried to visualize an enemy coming over distant hills and imagine the scramble to shut the gates. Life is like that sometimes. It seems like we hold the immobile high ground against fear and despair and other enemies of our souls. Yet we worry our resistance will break. These verses remind us that patience is the antidote to despair. Though it seems impossible, our redemption cometh. We won't wait for it forever. And now I'll read the full scripture from today's reading. It's Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and verses 9 through 20. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Alas for you who get evil gain for your house, setting your nest on high to be safe from the reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You have forfeited your life. The very stones will cry out from the wall, and the plaster will respond with the woodwork. Alas for you who build a town of bloodshed and found a city on iniquity. Is it not from the Lord of hosts that peoples labor only to feed the flames, and nations weary themselves for nothing? But the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Alas for you who make your neighbors drink, pouring out your wrath until they are drunk in order to gaze on their nakedness. You will be sated with contempt instead of glory. Drink you yourself and stagger. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and shame will come upon your glory. for the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you. The destruction of the animals will terrify you. Because of human bloodshed and violence to the earth, to cities, and all who live in them. What use is an idol once its maker has shaped it, a cast image, a teacher of lies? For its maker trusts in what has been made, though the product is only an idol that cannot speak. Alas for you who say to the wood, "Wake up!" To silent stone, "Rouse yourself!" Can it teach? See, it is gold and silver plated, and there is no breath in it at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And the moving forward question for this Monday is, what enemy threatens your defenses? Pray for patience and strength. And the commentary for Tuesday, November 15th, begins with a passage from the book of James in the New Testament, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. Now the commentary. A close friend recently described the turmoil taking place at the school where he taught. The school was religious with a very established theology and world view. It seemed a mutual friend and educator had been accused by a parent of so challenging his son's faith that the son eventually left their church. Knowing the accused as I do, I found the parent's charges to be grossly simplistic and unjustified, but it did bring to mind the gravity of today's passage. How many times in my life have I spoken without thought, or in jest, or insincerely, or out of a desire to appear intelligent or diplomatic, or worst of all, better than someone else? I don't really want to know. The reality would prove difficult to accept. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. And now I'll read from the full passage for today, which is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives? Or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. And the moving forward thought for this day is, when has your speech betrayed your faith? Make amends as needed. And now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, November 16th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 17. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" I have often wondered what happened to the other 9 lepers. Did they live their whole lives regretting that they had failed to offer thanks for the gift of life they were given? Did they ever seek Jesus out to say thanks? Did their failure to show gratitude keep them awake at night? Or did they believe that their suffering entitled them to something better? We live in an entitled world. As modern people, we believe that we deserve the life we desire. When suffering comes, it's a terrible unfairness, and when we are restored, it's less a gift than a restoration of our expectations. There are an infinite number of hopes that have failed to materialize in my life, sometimes as a result of my choices, and sometimes those of others. The loss of those hopes can be terribly painful. Choosing to see the loss as an injustice only causes us to miss out on what we actually have. It's better to be grateful for our healing than resent our suffering. And now I'll read this entire passage for today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. This is about the story of Jesus cleansing the 10 lepers. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, and he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, how does this passage change your understanding of suffering and gratitude? The commentary for Thursday, November 17th begins with a passage from the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verses 14b to 15. "The Lord was a witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did not one God make her? Both flesh and spirit are his. And what does the one God desire? Godly offspring? So look to yourselves, and do not let anyone be faithless to the wife of his youth." The readings of this week are all about the dangers of faithlessness. Faithlessness in marriage is a principal sin because it is to the ones whom we know, and conversely know us, better than anyone else, that we have the greatest obligation. But when we as parents, teachers, clerics, or civic leaders fail in our roles, we're also being faithless. We are faithless when we put any desires higher than our obligations to God and to others. When we are individually unfaithful in these, we corrupt our homes, churches, and our communities. Our actions don't take place in isolation. If we really want to impact our world for Christ, we must begin with faithfulness to our most basic but significant relationships. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel for this day, which is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 to 37. It's about the coming of the kingdom. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for in fact the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there,' or 'Look here.' Do not go, do not set off in pursuit. For as the lightning flashes and lights up in the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so too it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all of them. It will be like that on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, anyone on the housetop who has belongings in the house must not come down to take them away, and likewise anyone in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife? Those who try to make their life secure will lose it, but those who lose their life will keep it. I tell you, on that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together. One will be taken and the other left." Then they asked him, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." And the moving forward commentary, or rather the question for this day, is forward day by day sends free resources to prisons, nursing homes, and hospitals. If you would like to support this cause, you can do so at the ministry at forwardmovement.org/donate. The commentary for Friday, November 18th begins with a passage from the book of Psalms, 102, verses 2 through 4. "Incline your ear to me when I call. Make haste to answer me, for my days drift away like smoke, and my bones are hot as burning coals. My heart is smitten like grass and withered, so that I forget to eat my bread." The commentary for this day is as follows. Western storyteller Louis L'Amour once published a work of poetry entitled "Smoke from This Altar." The title invokes such strong imagery, a solitary figure sitting by a frontier campfire that burns beneath a universe of stars. The title encapsulates the spirituality of fire and smoke, worship and sacrifices. The image also presents a sense of the contrast between our own finiteness and the vastness of the divine. This contrast speaks to me in the words of the psalmist as well. As someone well into middle life, I am acutely aware of my own mortality. It's hard to accept the reality that our lives are short, but it helps to remember that we do not sit alone by our fires, staring up at the night sky. The eternal God sits with us and allows us to share in eternal life. Now I'm going to read from the entire gospel passage for this day, and that is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And the moving forward question for this day is, take time to gaze upon the night sky and give God the glory. The commentary for Saturday, November 19th, begins with a passage from the book of James from the New Testament, chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. "The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed." Being faithful in prayer is difficult. Some days I genuinely feel heard by the Holy Spirit. I get the sense that the Spirit is present in my struggle and will give me the solution I need, if not always the solution that I want. Well, those are gratifying experiences in prayer. But I'd be lying if I said they are the only experiences I have. Other days, my prayers feel ineffectual and constrained by my feelings of exhaustion. Despite the fact that I know better, I began to suspect no one is listening. During these times when prayer seems laborious, we need the church community to help do the work of prayer. We must live amongst our fellow Christians openly and honestly, making and hearing confessions and offering up intercessions for one another. And now I'll read the full scripture from the book of James today. It is chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." The moving forward question for this day, are you at a stagnant place in your prayer life? Call on others to lift you up during these difficult days. And the commentary for this day, Sunday, November 20th, by the way, the last Sunday after Pentecost, is from Luke chapter 23, verse 33. "When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left." This past fall, I made a point to reread the Gospels. I tried to approach them as though I had never read them before, and I'd rediscovered the beauty of the texts. They're so infused with life and joy. They feel like great mythos, an earthy, gritty reality. With each book, I tried to place myself within the context of the story. I felt connected to the characters, and most importantly, connected to Christ. But when I came again to the crucifixion, I froze. I didn't want to enter fully into the story. Sometimes I read it at arm's length, or I glossed over Jesus' death entirely because it was just too painful to read. Other times I read it as purposely as I was able and had my heart broken again. As grateful as I am for the beauty of the Gospels, I am most grateful that the story isn't ultimately a tragedy. And the Gospel for this day is from Luke 23:33-43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And the moving forward question for this day is, read Luke 23. Where are you in the crucifixion story? Imagine yourself as the guards, the criminals, and the onlookers. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.